Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Brachos, daf Lamed Gimel. Yesterday's daf, we had the pleasure of going through Tfilas Chana. Chana was requesting for Makadosh Baruch Hu a child, and Chana davened, and we learned a lot of halachas from Chana. In fact, the Gemara introduced the entire parsha yesterday by Hilchasa Gevirta. Great halachas, some very strong halachas that we'll learn out from Chana and Tfilas Chana. And so yesterday we went through, I didn't keep score, but we went through nearly a dozen halachas that we learned out from the whole story of Chana. Some of the halachas deal with tefillah, some of the halachas benodim lechavero, but that was a bulk of yesterday's daf. We're continuing today's daf. We're starting about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud, Chasidim Rishonim, we're Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, and we begin today by discussing preparation for davening. Chasidim Rishonim HaYishom Sha'achas. So what our Mishnah tells us, it's the first Mishnah, the fifth Perek. It says that you had this group of people, Chasidim Rishonim, that they would wait a little bit before davening. It would help them focus, they would meditate, however you want to describe their preparation, but a little bit before davening so that they're prepared to daven. Menahani Mili, the Gemara wants to know, where does this come from? Amar Yeshua, Ben Levi, Amakra, Asher Yoshev Vesecha. Okay, so it comes from the Pasuk. In other words, Asher Yoshev Vesecha, I know we're familiar. We think it's the beginning of the 145th parak of Tehillim. It's not. It's a common mistake. The actual beginning of the parak starts off with the words Tehillah LeDavid. It's added to the beginning of Ashrei. Tosos notes that as well, and it's probably added because of this Gemara right here. Our Gemara over here says that Ashrei Yoshev Vesecha is the source where you're supposed to just gather yourself, focus, and then daven. So Ashrei Yoshev Vesecha, your fortune is one who sits in your bias, and then afterwards goes in and engages in davening. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi. It's another pasuk in Tehillim. So they cut and paste. In other words, so they cut it out from Perek, right? It comes from 84, and then they just add it. They add it to the beginning of Tehillah David. Hamra of Yeshua. Ashrei Yoshev Vesecha, meaning sit down. Ashrei Yoshev Vesecha. Fortune is the one who sits down. Oh, Yaluch Asala. And then Yahalal. Then you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hamra of Yeshua Malevi. Masbal Tzarech Lishosha Achas Achar Tfilasa. Okay, so we talked about the pre-davening concentration and meditation. There's also post-davening as well. So Chassidim in this room, you should be familiar. Lubavitchers, they say this pasuk at the end of davening. So you should meditate also after davening as well. Good. The Bryson went over both sources before and after. So then we have a Bryson that discusses the Chasidim Rishonim. Now we put it all together. So an hour for pre-davening, an hour for davening, an hour for post-davening. So that's 3 hours. Now what you have to do, of course, is multiply that by three. Insufficient to just simply say they did that once, they did it 3 times a day, they're chassidim. So now, 9 hours of davening a day. So now, you could tell me, I'm certainly ready to entertain the idea that shah doesn't mean a full hour, right? It means some time. However, the Gemara over here takes it very literally. So here the Brisa speaks to the idea of 9 hours. So 9 hours dedicated to davening. So the Gemara asks a very simple question, basic. So when they do everything else, meaning you got to learn, you got to work. There are other things that need to occupy your day with. So when do they do all that? Elamitoch, fantastic answer of the Gemara. Yeah, they're chassidim, so they can get away with it. Their Torah will be guarded. Their malacha will have a bracha. Okay, so they don't need to learn as much, and they don't need to work as much. That's just part of the definition of being a chassid. Okay. I know, insert joke, but let's move on. The king asks you how you're doing, so the Mishnah says that that's not appropriate to answer. You're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so don't answer the king. You're not in a position to answer the king. In other words, like I described the other day, it's a king and the king. Meaning, if a king comes over to you, but right now you're currently talking to the king. So there's nothing to do. So I'm Rav Yosef Lo Shano Lamachi Yisrael Vamachi Alkom Posek. So Shmuel makes Rav Yosef makes an important distinction. That's only if the king who's speaking to you is a Jewish king who understands currently right now what's going on. You're davening Shmoneh Esrei. You're speaking to Melech Malchei Hamelechim. But if it's a non-Jewish king and your life is at stake, So this is not something you're supposed to give up your life for. So don't give up your life for it, but rather stop, address the non-Jewish king, and then if you can, go back to Daven. Now the Gemara is bothered because we do have a Brisa, and the Brisa says that if you see an anus coming, right, someone who is going to force you into something, in other words, you're in jeopardy, and or karum ba kenegdo, or a wagon, I guess it's a wagon which is going to pose some sort of threat to you, so right, don't stop, but if you can, abridge your shmona esrei, and then go and then get out of the way. So lokasha had eshelakatzer hadalo eshelakatzer. The Gemara says very simply that okay, if you can, so finish up Shmoneh Esrei, even if it means you have to truncate some of the brachos. If you can't, so then obviously you have to stop. Tanu Rabbanan Ma'aseh B'Chaser Echad She'em Esbal B'Derech. So the Gemara now relates a story with a chassid, and he was davening on the way. Basar Echad V'Nasan Lo Shalom. Now along comes the sar and extends shalom to him. Now it's important, and I'm not sure what the answer to this question is, but is this a non-Jewish or is this a Jewish king? I'm not sure. From the context of the story, I get the sense that, he's not Jewish. But if I'm right, which is a huge if I'm right, that's going to contradict what we just learned. Okay, so stay with me. So v'nasan lo shalom, v'lo hichzer lo shalom. So now this chassid was davening, and along comes the sar and says hello, but he's davening, so he doesn't stop to interrupt. So himtim lo ad shesim tefilaso. Now, so what the sar does is he waits till he finishes davening. La'achar shesim tefilaso, amalo reiko. So the sar says to this chassid, "You're such an empty individual." La'lo chassid b'saros chamraki shemelecha u'shmor nafshecha. It says in your Torah, which again makes it very clear that we're talking about somebody who the sar himself is not Jewish. So he says, the Torah tells you, you have to be careful about the Torah. But you also have to be careful about your life. The Torah says, you got to watch your life. You got to take care of yourself. And don't put your life in jeopardy. So I said hello to you, and you didn't respond to me. Now, if I chopped your head off right now, no one would really have a problem with that. Meaning, you were disrespectful to the king, or the king's minister, whatever position he was. So the chassid says, if I can, give me a moment so that I can explain myself. So he says, I'll start off with a question. If you were speaking to a king, a regular king, Melech Basar Vadam, and along comes a friend, taps you on the shoulder and says, hello. Would you respond to your friend while you're talking to the king? I'm really love. So the sar knows the correct answer. Of course not. Now, if you would have turned away from the king and said hello to your friend who tapped you on the shoulder, what would the king have done to you? I'm really, how you chot chemis roshi b'sayif. What do you mean? That's easy. He would have chopped my head off. So Amalei v'alo dvarim kavachomer. And so now the chassid is trying to explain a kavachomer to the sar. Look, that's how you behave with a king. And you know he's temporary. You know the king won't last. Like all of us, we have an expiration date. So the king has an expiration date. And meanwhile, for the king, you wouldn't stop and say hello to a friend. So I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's not just a king, but la'olam va'ad. So miyad nispayis oso hasar v'nifater oso chasa l'beisa l'shalom. So the sar said, you're right, good, okay, go home. Yeah, I hear you. Now it's interesting because the story contradicts what we just learned. Meaning Rav Yosef says that the correct halacha is to stop. So we have a concept. I mean, the Gemara doesn't address this, so it's kind of strange. Meaning we're left to try to figure out now how the Gemara gives a halacha psuka. It's very clear halacha, distinction between a Jewish king versus a non-Jewish king. And if your life is in jeopardy, so you got to stop in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. And then the story that's given to us really contradicts the halacha psuka. So I don't know. He quotes a salach.
Yeah, I didn't. The guy asked him, how are you? So the Jew felt, well, he's not going to kill him because
he gauged the situation.
Yeah, that the man would listen to his reasoning.
Okay. Afilu nachash krocha laikevo lo yafsik. Amr av sheshes lo shenu lanachash av akrav posek. So the Gemara, the Mishnah relates the halacha that you're davening Shema Yisrael, along comes a snake, and wraps himself around your leg, you continue davening. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I already testified, I don't know if I could do that. I hate snakes. But that's personal. So let me not make this personal. But the point of the Mishnah is that really you stop for nothing. You're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you're talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you don't stop. And even if the snake is wrapped around your leg. So the Gemara makes a very important distinction. That's a snake. But if it's a scorpion, so then you stop. And the Gemara is assuming that a snake is not going to be deadly. He'll bite you. You know, it'll sting a little bit, but that's not going to be deadly. Scorpion's going to be deadly. That's behind the Gemara's understanding. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Yevamos. The end of the Yevamos, we went through all the halachas of when can you assume someone dies so that you can go home back to his wife and report that she's a widow. And obviously that'd be a tragedy and not something that anyone would want. However, it does free the wife now. It makes the wife not an aguna. So the Mishnah in Yevamos describes the following. You see someone fall into a lion's den, that's not automatic death. Okay? So you do not then have the right. If you don't know any more information other than the guy fell into a lion's den, you do not assume that he's dead. However, if you see the guy fall in to a pit of snakes and scorpions, you assume that he's dead. And so therefore you can turn around, go home and tell his wife, unfortunately, the bad news, and that she is in fact a widow. Shani Hasam said, but you see what the problem of the Gemara is. You see that snakes are lethal. Somebody falls into a pit of snakes and you assume that the person's dead. Now, had it just been the scorpion, so the Mishnah would have not introduced us to the case of snakes and scorpions. It's clear that snakes are lethal. Shani Hasam Degav, it's a samaske. So the Gemara says like this. You fell into the pit, which probably means you fell on top of the snakes and the scorpions. You agitated them. So now that you agitated them, so they're going to react and they're going to bite and kill. But if you don't do anything, so the snakes are not going to do anything to you. I'm Rav Yitzchak Rosh, Varim Postag. What if you are, what's the name of the place? Pompano? Where's the running of the bulls? So, Papalona, that's it. So I'm Rav Yitzchak Rosh, Shvarim Postag. So, a charging bull, that would be a good time to stop your Shmonesi. Didn't Rav Oshia Marchikim Mishur Tam Chamishim Amma? So a bull that has no history, right? No past history.
Keep away
from it 50 amas. Mishur Muad, sure has a history of goring. And it's got not just a history, but three times in the past. So Kamalo Einav, as long, keep as far away from it so that you cannot see it anymore. Tani Mishmed Rav Meir Reish Tura B'Dekula Sak La'agra. You see the head of a bull in the palm trees. So here's what you do. You go up to the roof, Vishadi Darga Matusech, and the ladder that you use to get up to the roof, you throw it away. So the bull can't even climb up the ladder. That's a funny visual. Amar Shmuel, Hani Mila Bishur, Shachor, V'yom HaNisan. So Shmuel says, not all bulls are going to be that vicious. It's got to be a black bull, it's got to be in the month of Nisan, Mimnei, Shasata Mirakelo Bein Karanov. The Gemara describes as him being extraordinarily angry at that time of the year, black bull in the month of Nisan. Sutton is dancing between his horns. It's an expression. It means he's crazy at that time of year. Now, the Gemara here describes an arod. Arod is a creature hard to describe. Rashi describes this almost like being a crossbreed. Take a look at Rashi. Arod min hanachash v'hatzav. It's like a cross between a snake and a lizard. Okay, some vicious creature. And this creature was just biting people and hurting people. So they inform Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Amar lahem haru li es karo. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says, fine, I'll take on the role today of exterminator. Arod, exterminator. Show me where it's hiding. So they showed him exactly where he's hiding. So he took his heel. This is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Put it on top of the hole where the arod lives. Yatzav v'nashchal. Now, this animal, this creature, bit him on the heel. Umeis oso arod. Now, who dies? Not Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. The arod dies. Not no aktefa ve'vil leves ha'medrash. So, like any warrior who just, you know, who just did his kill. So he picks up the arod, brings the dead carcass of the arod into the Beis Medrash. Amlem Rubini in arod memis ela achet memis. And he uses it as a model lesson in the Beis Medrash. He says to the Bnei HaYeshiva, it's not the arod that's killing, it's the chet that's gorem. Really, it's a sin of the individual that kills. Arod is just a hechitimtza, it's just a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses. But it's not the arod. But also, sham. Yeah, it's not, there's no tumah.
It overcomes the teva? Because the teva is a snake will kill.
Correct. And here's the expression that was used from that day forward. So, woe to a person that meets an arod, but woe to that arod who has to encounter Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. We start now the new Mishnah, and we talk about all the additions. So, when it comes to Tchias HaMeisim, the second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, so we add Gvurz HaGeshamim. Right, Mashiv Aruach Umorid Hagashem. So Vishela Bebirchas Hashanim, and then we get to the ninth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. So with the bracha that deals with our parnasa, so there we ask for rain. Right, most of our parnasa comes by via rain, especially in an agricultural community. So you desperately need the rain, so you ask for it in the ninth bracha. We made this point earlier in the Masechta, but let's just reiterate this point again. They are fundamentally different from one another. That which we're doing in the second bracha, that's a hazkara. In fact, the words I'm using are really the Mishnah's words. The Mishnah says mazkirin gevurz gesham, and that's just simply a hazkara. That's not a petition. That's not a request. That's just simply a way of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide rain. But you're not asking for it. That's just simply a mentioning of it. Masha Enke, when it comes to what we do in the ninth bracha, that's a she'ela. That's a request. That's a petition. What's the difference? It's not just a semantic difference. There's a basic difference in terms of halacha. We discussed this before. If you leave out Masha Baruch Hamored HaGeshem when you're supposed to have said it, so you got to go back. Meaning, it doesn't matter how far you were into Shmoneh Esrei, you got to go back. And as we pointed out, you got to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. Why? Because without mentioning it, you can't make it up at a later time. You can't just simply say, oh, you know what, I forgot it. Okay, I'll put in Shomei HaTefillah. You can't do it. Because Shomei HaTefillah is a place where you make petitions. It's where you make requests. If you fail to say Mashiv Aruch Hamored HaGeshem, that's not a She'ela. So therefore, you cannot make it up at a later point in time. You got to go back. Masha Ein Kein, if you forgot V'sein Talam Atal Avracha in your ninth bracha Shmoneh Esrei, and you're plowing along through Shmoneh Esrei, and before you get to Shomei HaTefillah, you say, oh no, I forgot V'sein Talam Atal Avracha, you don't have to go back. You can actually insert it into Shomei HaTefillah. Well, by what right can you do that? Because it's a she'ela, it's a petition. And so if you forgot the petition where it should have been, the ninth bracha, so you just say that you'll say it back in Shomei HaTefillah. So they really are different from one another. Havdala b'chonein adas. Now there's another addition, which is at the end of Shabbos, we dava Maariv, and we put a Havdala into Maariv. The nusach of Havdala into Maariv, and specifically into the fourth bracha. Into chonein adas. Rabbi Kiva omer ha'omer bracha revi'is b'fnei atzma. Now Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that Havdala in Shmoneh Esrei is its own independent bracha. Now, I can't tell you what the bracha is because we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, but he's of the opinion that it's its own independent bracha. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Behodah, and Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you put it at the end, you put it in the bracha of Modim. Okay. Maskirin Gevuros Geshamim Maitam Amrav Yosef Mitoch Sheshkula B'tchias HaMesim. Now, it's a funny place to put in Gevuros Geshamim. We put it in the second bracha. The theme of the second bracha is Tchias HaMesim. Okay? So, resurrection of the dead. So why then does rain belong over there? So the Gemara answers Shaklua Kitchias HaMesim because it's basically the same. Meaning, what happens? Rain falls on the ground, and so what happens is plants come out from the ground. Tchias HaMesim, same story. We're coming out of the ground. Leficha chavu b'tchias hamesim. V'shela b'berchas Hashanah ma'itayim am Rav Yosef mitoch shi parnasa. Leficha chavu b'berchas parnasa. So the Gemara says what we said back in the Mishnah. Ninth bracha is really all about parnasa. We're asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for our livelihood. So where is it more appropriate to put rain than in the bracha where we're talking about our livelihood? Havdal b'chonin adas ma'itayim. Now, the insertion of chonin adas goes into the fourth bracha. Why should that be? Am Rav Yosef mitoch shi chachma. Kavua bebirchas chachma. So the Gemara is going to give two explanations. One, says the Gemara, cited to us in the name of Rav Yosef, is because what is Havdalah, but it's all about distinction. creating a distinction requires intelligence. So where are we going to talk about Havdalah? In the bracha that deals with intelligence. Because if one is not intelligent, one cannot create distinctions between one thing and another thing. That's one explanation of why Havdalah goes into the fourth bracha. Well, in other words, when you start the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, you really don't know. Is this a weekday Shemoneh Esrei? It's a Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei? It's a Yom Tov Shemoneh Esrei? They all look the same. It's only when you start the fourth bracha do you realize what Shemoneh Esrei it is. That's when the Shemoneh Esrei identifies itself. So you get to the Atah Chonein, so now you realize, oh, this is a weekday. So that's where you're going to insert the Hamavdil. Not Hamavdil. The Tochan Antanu. I'm Rabbi Ami Gedola Deash and Anna B'tchilath Bracha Shochol. So the Gemara now is going to talk about the importance of intelligence. So first of all, you could see how important it is just simply by its placement in Shemoneh Esrei. We're asking for 12 things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now 13 things from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of our Shemoneh Esrei. So of that 13, you figure it's a priority. Meaning, what's the first thing we're asking for? Das, Chochma, intelligence. So, B'tzchilas Bracha Shochol, V'amar, Avam, Megidola, Deh, Shanana, Ben, Shtei, Osios. And not only that, but even in the Pesukim themselves, it speaks about how important Chochma is. We're going to look at Pesukim throughout Navi. Shmuel, Aleph, Perek, Beis, Tfilas Chana, Kikel, Deos, Hashem. So you see the word Deah is placed in front of the word Hashem, and right after the word Kel. Meaning it's sandwiched in the name of Hashem. V'chol mi she'en bo Deah, Asa l'rachem alav. Statement which you got to read in context, because otherwise it seems like an extraordinarily harsh statement. Anyone who does not have Deah, so you cannot have Rachmanis on him. So I do not believe that the Gemara here is talking about somebody who is mentally challenged. The Gemara here is probably speaking about somebody who has Deah, but just chooses not to use it, not to exercise it, and not to work his brain muscle. Shenemar ki lo am binosu, al kein lo yirachmenu al sehu. He's not a bina, and so therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu has no rachmanis. I'm Rabbi Elazar Gadol Mikadesh. Sorry, Gadol Mikdash and Asam Bein Beis Osios. And we're going to do this again, where we're going to find a word sandwiched between Shem Hashem. Shenemar paalta Hashem Mikdash Hashem. Okay, we're familiar. Az Yashir. Good. So you see that the word Mikdash is sandwiched between Shem Hashem. I'm a Rabbi Elazar Kol Adam Sheish Bodeya Ki Ilu Nivne Beis Hamikdash Biyamav. And so now we see that the two words which are sandwiched between Shem Hashem, Deya and Mikdash, so therefore they're equivalent to one another. Anyone who exercises and uses his Deya is going to be like he built the Beit HaMikdash. Deya Nisna Ben Shnei Osios, Mikdash Nasna Ben Shnei Osios, period. Maskev LaRavacha, Karchina, Elamiata, Gedola Nekama, Shnasna Ben Shnei Osios, the Gemara says we can do this again with vengeance. Shenemar Kel Nekamos Hashem. Okay, we say this on Wednesday mornings. So Amar lay in. So the Gemara says, "Bemilsa mia gedolahi." Don't think vengeance is all bad. Vengeance is good. There are different types of nekama. Nekama which is good, nekama which is bad. Right? In other words, you and I, lo sikom, right? We're prohibited from taking vengeance, but there are times when vengeance is excellent. Mahina damar ulo shtei nekamos halalu lama achas latova v'achas lara. So we have a pasuk that describes nekama as being a good thing. Hofia mehar paran, Rashi explains, and Rashi quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama. See, you can see Rashi inside. I'm reading Rashi. Mi paran hofia vihifkir mamonam liYisrael, shorshi Yisrael shenagar shorsha akum pator. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara in Baba Kama. We know the first part of the Gemara very well. Kadosh Baruch Hu went around from nation to nation, asked every nation, "Do you want the Torah?" Every nation said no. They do a little bit of investigation. What's in the Torah? Oh, really? We're not interested. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, good, you rejected the Torah. So the conclusion of the Gemara is, Hifker Mamonam LiYisrael. So Kadosh Baruch Hu extracts vengeance on the other nations so that it creates a certain exemption of liability when a shore Yisrael damages a shore Akum. Fine. So that kind of Nekama the Gemara describes as being Nikmas Tov. And Lera'ah, Dichsiv kel nekamos Hashem, kel nekamos Ophia. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes nekama against Bnei Yisrael, obviously that's a nekama that we're not interested in. It's not good. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Omer Bracha Revias, Amar Lei Rav Shem, Amar Abba, Rav Yochanan, Michti. So the Gemara says like this. What's with all the confusion? I know this is a question that we can ask so often in the Gemara. I'm aware. But basically, the Gemara wants to know, what's with all the confusion? Meaning, how do you say Havdal and Shemoneh Esrei? Is there a Nusach for Shemoneh Esrei? Yes. I know there's a little bit difference between Nuschaos nowadays, but we all agree to the basic outline of Shemoneh Esrei. So, why are we debating how exactly you say Havdalah in your Shemoneh Esrei? If Anshei Knesset, I'm just preparing us for the question. If Anshei Knesset Segedolah put together Shemoneh Esrei, and presumably that also means that they put it together all the additions that are added in Shemoneh Esrei at the appropriate time, so why are there three opinions in our Mishnah in terms of when you should be saying Havdalah? Simple question. Now, I know the question could be asked so many different times, but at least davening, we have a nusach. So, what happened? Where did we lose it? So, where did I go? Amalei Rav Shimon Barabla Rav Yochanan Mechti. Anshe Knesset Gedol Tikkun Lehem Lisrael Berachos Tefilas Kedushas V'Avdalos. Nechzei. Heichan Takon. So, my question is very simple. So, where did they institute it? Amalei B'Tchila Kavo B'Tfila. So, the Gemara says like this. Here's how it started. Havdalah was first instituted in davening. So in other words, originally, Takanas Ezra, with Anshei Knesset Segedolah, when they put together Shemoneh Esrei, so they only required after Shabbos to say Havdalah in davening, and that's it. Now, why not Havdalah Lakos? Very simple. Because they didn't have money. In other words, the Jews that came back into Eretz Yisrael were extraordinarily poor. And so what Ezra did not want to do was institute a mitzvah that the Jewish people couldn't do. So in other words, he instituted Havdalah, but just simply not Alakos, because simply people couldn't afford it. Ha'eshiru, but then what happened was, is that they got a little financially more healthy. Kavua Alakos. So then they decided, not they, the Chachamim, I don't know if this is going all the way back to Ezra, I'm not clear about that, but whatever. At one point historically it was then decided, we're shifting. We're moving Havdalah out of Shemoneh Esrei, and now we're doing it on the coast. He'anu, but then they become poor again. Chazru v'kavu b'tfila. And so what they did is they put it back into tfila. So you see what happened? It was first and foremost, primarily, a fundamental mitzvah of Shemoneh Esrei. Then when they got wealthy, they took it out of Shemoneh Esrei and put it on the coast. And then when they get poor again, so they want to put it back to Shemoneh Esrei. So at least now we understand why there was a break in the Masorah, and that's why they were not sure where exactly it belongs in Shemoneh Esrei. V'heim amru, and one other important point. Hamavda b'tfila sarach sheyavdal alakos. Even though it's inserted back into davening, and even though the original takana was to put havdal in davening, but really after you daven, you should again say it over a cup of wine. Now, I read all that quickly. That was just a review of what we learned. But the Gemara had a Braisa, therefore the Gemara told us this via the Braisa. Nowadays, Bizmanenu, even though we went back to the original takana of saying Havdalah in davening, but we are also required to then say Havdalah on a cup of wine. Am Rava Mosvina Shmaita. Now Rava says, now here's what I'm confused by, meaning, on my own halacha that I just said, I'm confused. And by the way, it should be Rava not with an aleph, but with a hey, because that's the Baal Memra a line ago. Ta'a v'lo hizkir gvuras g'shamim b'tchias ha'mesim. V'she'ela b'birchas ha'shanim achzir nasal. If you fail to say either Mashav Aruchim Redagashim or V'stein Talamat Levracha and you finish your Shemoneh Esrei, you got to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. Fine. We went over this halach already a number of times. V'havdala b'chonein adas ein machzir nosal. Now, if you forgot to say Atachon Antanu, so you don't have to go back. Mibnei sheyachol la'omra alakos. Why? Because we have what we call Havdalah. Meaning what we do nowadays is we say it afterwards. So now the Gemara, what bothers the Gemara now? It sounds pretty okay. I'll tell you what bothers the Gemara. It's the language that's used. Mibnei sheyachol la'omer al hakos. It's like, right, it's like you have an option that you could say it on the coast afterwards. And what we've been saying up until now, it's not an option. You should. You should say it al kos, despite the fact you already said it in your Shemona Esrei. So lo tema mibnei sheyachol omra al kos, ela ema mibnei sheomra al kos. So we're going to do a little bit of fine tuning. We're going to take out the word yachol, and the Gemara says that's exactly the point. Because you're going to say it al kos afterwards, therefore you don't have to go back. In manam yam rabbi ben yamim bar yefeshal rabbi yosi es rabbi yochanan b'tzidan. Ve'amila rabbi shem ben yaakov dimin sor. Es rabbi yochanan ma'ana sham eit hamavda b'tzil et sarach shiyav al kos. Allah. Again, the Gemara asks a very basic question. We say Abdallah in Shmoneh Esrei. So you have to say it again on a cup of Amalei, Sarach Shi Abdallah Kos. And the answer is very simple. The answer is yes. Okay. I'm going to read a little bit of Gemara, and then we're going to discuss one issue which came up earlier, but I didn't discuss it then. Let me first just read a little more Gemara. Ibailo Amavdallah Kos, Mashi Abdallah Betfila. Okay, what about the other way? Meaning, let's say you made Havdalah early. You remember we saw in the Gemara a couple days ago? You could do that. You can make Havdalah early. Right? The Gemara quoted Rav Davin Mariv on Friday afternoon early, and the Gemara quoted other Amoraim who made Havdalah early. Okay, we pointed out, you can't light a fire, right? It's still an Esther Malacha, but you want to say Havdalah early, so you have the right to do so. So he said Havdalah early. And now you're davening Mariv. So now that you said Havdalah Kos, Do you still need to insert a Takon Antanu into your Ma'ariv? Okay, answer is, I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kavachomer. The answer of the Gemara is, it's a no-brainer, of course you do. Mitfila, Uma Tfila, the Iker Takanti, Hu Amri Amavdu, but Tfila Tzarech Shiavdel Akos, Amavdel Akos, Alav Iker Takanti, Hilo Kol Shekain. It's a total no-brainer. Meaning, remember, what was the original Takana? Havdalah in Shmon Esrei. That was the original Takana. And even though you said it, so you still have to say Havdalah Akos. But that wasn't the original. So if you start off with a Havdalah Akos, which is not the Iker Takana, so Al Achas Kama Vakama, you still, of course, need to say Atachon Antanu in your Shmoneh Esrei. Tani Rabbi Acha Aricha Kame de Rav Chinan Amavda B'Tfilah Meshubach Yosem Mimishi Havdalah Akos. To say Havdalah in your Tfilah is better. It's Meshubach, it's more praiseworthy than saying Havdalah Akos. V'imivda B'zu V'zu, Yinuchal HaBrachos HaRosho. And then if you say both, you're going to get brachos. So the Gemara says, Haguf HaKashi. Now, that's a little strange. That sequence of statements. Amarta Mavda B'Tfilah Meshubach Yosem Mimisha Mavdala Kos Ama Tfilah L'Chuda Sagi. It sounds like just saying Havdalah in your Shmoneh Esrei is sufficient. V'hadu Tanei Mivda B'Zu B'Zu Yinuchal HaBrachos HaRosho. So, but then it says, if you say both, oh, that's wonderful. And it sounds like, but all you need to do is just simply say Havdalah in your Shmoneh Esrei, and that's enough. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand. Because if Havdalah in your Shmoneh Esrei is sufficient, so then saying any more brachas after that point in time is a bracha shein etzricha, an unnecessary bracha. And then on top of that, we have a prohibition. It's a violation. To say a bracha that's unwarranted is a violation of lo sisa. Now, how literal does the Gemara mean over here? You actually violated the third commandment of the Aseret HaDibros. It's an asmachta. That's subject to a machlokas rishonim. But right now, for our purposes right now, all we need to know is it's wrong. You cannot make a bracha which is unnecessary. So, ela'im ahachi. So the Gemara says like this. Okay, we're going to go back and we're going to just tweak the statement just a little bit. Im hivda bezu, v'lo hivda bezu, yinuchu brachas ha-rasham. Meaning, if you made a havdalah in one and not in the other, so you're still subject to getting the brachos. But, fundamentally, you really should be saying both. Okay. Now, before we turn the page, read more and turn the page. So, what's the halacha? It's very clear. Well, I'll start off with what is very clear. You forgot a tachon antan in your Shmoneh Esrei, you don't have to repeat your Shmoneh Esrei. Okay? That's clear. Gemara said it already a number of times. The Gemara paskin that right now in our Gemara, on the bottom of Lam Gimel Amud Aleph. So that's clear. And so why? Because you're going to say Havdalah after, and later on in the evening, Havdalah Lakos, so you're fine. In other words, you still would have said Havdalah. Okay. So let me ask you a simple question, a very simple question. So let's say you said the first bracha of, you said Tachonin, and you finished that bracha, Bracha Tashem Chonin Adas. And right after you finished that bracha, you remembered, oh no, I forgot a Tachon Antanu. So now what do you do? In other words, do you now just continue finish Shmoneh Esrei? Or do you go back and say Atachonein? Meaning, here's what's clear. If you finish your Shmoneh Esrei, there's nothing to talk about. You don't go back. You don't daven Shmoneh Esrei again. But right at that spot, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem Chonein Hadas, and now you're done with that bracha. So can you go back and insert a tachon antanu, or is that point in time, is it too late? Okay, don't answer. Go back to Tosfos on Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Okay, well, we didn't do this back then, we're going to do it right now. Okay, the Tosfos on Lamed Amud Beis offers 1, 2, 3 opinions on this question. Wow. Who knew? Okay, so Tosfos starts off like this. Okay, that goes back to the Gemara. Leave that out from our discussion. Any time where you don't have to go back and repeat your Shemoneh Esrei, Kigon, Yalav Yava Ba'arvis, right, as we pointed out, if you forgot Yalav Yava and your Ma'ariv, if you don't go back, Ve'al Anisim, or you leave out Al Anisim and Chanukah, or in Purim, so you don't have to go back, Lo Mi Bayim Akaraglav, Upasak Bebracha Shalachara, Dein Machtir Noso, El Afila Lo Akar, El Shesim Oso Bracha Shetiknu Bala Omro, Ein machzir no so. So Rabbeinu Yitzchak is of the opinion that once you finish not Shemoneh Esrei, but just simply that bracha, meaning the bracha where it was instituted in, so it's over. It's too late. So now it's interesting, by the way, I don't know why, but Tosfos doesn't talk about Atachon Antanu, which is another prime example, but fine. But we're going to discuss it in the context of Atachon Antanu. But you could also talk about Yalav Yavo Mariv, and you could talk about they talk about Al Anisim and Chanukah and Purim. Okay, so according to the Ri, once you finish that bracha, it's over, it's done. Fafalan, you've now lost your opportunity for Atachon Antanu, which again is not the end of the world because you'll say Havdalah Kos later on. But that's the opinion of the Ri. V'lo El Shesim Osa Bracha Shitna Bala Amra In Machzir Nosa. V'lo Nehir La Rabbeinu Ochanan. Opinion number two is the opinion of Rabbeinu Ochanan. Look, you know the halacha by benching. You finished bone bracha of Yerushalayim, amen. Okay, good. And you say amen to your own bracha. We'll talk about that in the seventh parak. And then what? You forgot, oh my gosh, today's Shabbos. I forgot to say Ritzei, so now what's the halacha? So we're going to learn later on, we're learning right now, the halacha is, as long as you didn't start the next bracha, so now there's a special bracha that you insert, some benchers are courteous enough to have it, some benchers, if they're really short benchers, they don't have it, so now you got to find a bencher, so there's a special bracha that you insert that replaces Ritzei. Okay. But once you start Berachat Hashem, right, Hakel Avinu Malkeinu Adoreinu Bareinu, meaning once you start the fourth bracha, it's over. Meaning at that point in time now, you got to go back and you got to repeat your benching. The Kamer Nami Hasam Imtav Alo Iskesh of Rosh Chodesh Kom Shadar Ashakar Aglav Danu Kom Shiatzchel Brachas Atov Ametiv Dosa Korei Akar Aglav Omer Bracha Shem Nasan Rosh Echadashem Alma. So what do you see? Heichad lo akar elu ve'elu shavim ve'im akar raglav shehizchel bebirchas atov ve'ametiv sheshabes chozor rosh v'shavachorish me'uvas lo yichol litko v'hachinami yachzer ba'oso bracha im lo hizchel bebracha shalachareha. Opinion number two in Tosfos Rabbeinu Ochanan is that if you start the next bracha, now it's over. Meaning now it's too late. But if all you did was just simply say Berachat Hashem Chonen Adas, and at that point, before starting the next bracha, you remember, oh no, I forgot Atachon Antanu, you still have a chance to go back and start again, Atachon In La Adam Das, and insert Atachon Antanu. Good.
And,
correct, and I'm applying it to Atachon Antanu. So, Umihu, now the third opinion, first of all, I'm skipping, Tosfos over here discusses why that Raya by benching is not a good Raya. Okay, see that, and then look at the last line of Tosfos. Umi or Omer Ri, deraz Rabbeinu Tam deeched lo akar raglav chazal ritzei afilu bedvarim she'in machzirin kagon al nisim vechein am devar. And then finally he concludes with the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam. The minhag of Rabbeinu Tam is as long as he didn't finish the Shemoneh Esrei, he would go back and he would say Atachon Antanu. Now it's not clear. Now it's not clear where to insert it. Meaning, do you go back all the way to Atachonon Tanu? Do you go maybe go back to Shema Koleinu? But anyway, that was the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam, as long as you didn't finish your actual Shemoneh Esrei. And then there's a further discussion in the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam. Do you have to go back? Is it just an option to go back? That's a discussion within Rabbeinu Tam itself. But there are basically in this Tosfos three opinions about what if you forgot Atachonon Tanu. So again, if you finish Shemoneh Esrei entirely, you don't go back. That's clear. But what if you didn't finish Shemoneh Esrei? So do you have an option of going back? So opinion number one in Tosfos is, as long as you didn't finish the Brach of Atachonin, once you finish the Brach of Atachonin, it's over. That's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, by the way. Two is Rabbeinu Elchanan, as long as you didn't start the next Bracha, once you start the next Bracha, that's it, you can't go back. And find the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam, which is, as long as you didn't finish your Shemoneh Esrei. But once you conclude your Shemoneh Esrei, which we assume is Akir's Raglav, stepping back, so you can still stay at Tachon
and
Tana.
And if you're poor and you're not going to have a cook, you have to do the Shemoneh Esrei.
Sorry, too much, too many variables. Okay. Bai Mine Rav Chista Me Rav Sheshes. Okay, we are on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. Bai Mine Rav Chista Me Rav Sheshes Ta Bezu Vezu Mahu. Now, what if you're Ta Bezeh Bezeh? Unclear exactly what the Gemara means by Ta. Ostensibly, it means you forgot both. Meaning, you forgot Atachon Antanu, you didn't say Avdallah Lakos, so the Gemara says Ta Bezeh Bezeh, Chozel Rosh. So, if you forgot both, so then you got to go all the way back to the beginning. Now, meaning, you got to say your Shemoneh Esrei, and you got to say Avdallah Lakos. Okay. So, Amalei Ravina L'Rava Hilchzamai, the Gemara now wants to know, can we have a conclusion over here? Amalei Amrle ki kiddush ma kiddush afagav de mikash betzlusa mikash akasa af avdalanami afagav de mavdal betzlusa mavdal akasa. The Gemara says yes. Conclusion is: look, havdal and kiddush are one and the same. Meaning, just like by kiddush, what do? Kiddush was inserted into Shemoneh Esrei, and meanwhile we go home kiddush ala kos. So havdalah, same story. Havdalah is inserted into Shemoneh Esrei. Hagam, we go home. You say it again. Alakos supports the Rambam. You know how the Rambam describes Kiddush and Avdallah as like bookends for Shabbos, meaning Shabbos begins with Kiddush and ends with a quasi Kiddush or a something that looks like Kiddush. We call it Avdallah. But in other words, the Gemara over here basically brackets Shabbos off with these two, and so right, the Rambam's opinion that Avdallah is a mitzvah d'oraisa, just like Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa, Avdallah is also a mitzvah d'oraisa. It affects the halacha regarding women, meaning are women obligated in Havdalah? According to the Rambam, they are, because essentially women are chayv in Kiddush, so therefore women are also going to be chayv in Havdalah if you view Havdalah as being part and parcel of the whole Shabbos experience. If, however, you see Havdalah as something extraneous, something outside of Shabbos, then women aren't going to be obligated, but already that's a discussion in of itself. Let's go back to the Gemara. Kiddush, when Friday night Kiddush, that's interesting. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't give us a history of Kiddush. Now Kiddush is more interesting because Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So that means that before davening ever became, you know, composed, so there was some form of Kiddush. So, but Havdalah, it's a little trickier because Havdalah, it's introduced to us primarily as part of davening. And the fundamental nature of Havdalah is that it was inserted into davening. So I don't know, it's hard for me to say, I just simply don't know, before they instituted davening, before they composed davening, what was Havdalah at that point in time? Right. So it's a fair point. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bahoda. Now, Rabbi Zera Havarachiv Chamra Havakashaka V'Azel Rabbi Chia Bravan Basrei. So the Rabbi Zera was riding on his donkey, and he was riding alongside Rabbi Chia Bar Avin, and Amalei Vayda Daminu Mishmei de Rav Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Eliezer Biyamtu Shecholios Achar Shabbos. Now, who does the halacha follow like? Now, it's kind of this next, like I would say, 20 lines of Gemara are going to be interesting, but not halacha lemaisa. Meaning, we know who the halacha follows like. Meaning, given the three opinions of where to insert Havdalah, so we put it in the fourth bracha Shemoneh Esrei, Atachon Antanu. But meanwhile, the Gemara is going to have a discussion in terms of who the halacha falls like. So we start off with a discussion. I heard in the name of Rav Yochanan that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer when Yontov falls out on Sunday, which means on Motzei Shabbos, we're transitioning from Shabbos to Yontov. Now you see, we know, we still say Havdalah. Meaning the Kedusha of Shabbos is greater than that of Yontov, and so therefore there has to be a Havdalah, that's it, between Shabbos and Yontov. So there, the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. What did Rabbi Eliezer say back in our Mishnah? So he inserted it in Hodah, in Modeh. So So did you hear in the neighbor of Yochanan the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer? Amalei in. So his answer was, yeah, I did. So halacha mechlal depliga. Now the Gemara says, now by saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, sounds like there's a debate. The Gemara says, what do you mean? There isn't a debate. V'lo pligi? V'a pligi rabbanan. What do you mean? We know there's a debate. Eimer depligi rabbanan b'shayim asashana. B'yamtov shechali asachar shabbos mi pligi. The Gemara says, look, year round, we know there's a debate. That we learned that in our Mishnah. But we're discussing now when Yantav immediately follows Shabbos. Maybe there's no debate. V'apalag Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, "Atu kol hashana kula mi avdin k Rabbi Akiva dehasha nekav neev kavasei kol hashana kula my time lo avdin k Rabbi Akiva did temnis rei takon tshas rei lo takon." Look, we don't follow like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says havdalah becomes its own independent bracha. Now we don't follow like him because shmones rei. It's 18 brachas. It's not 19 brachas. I know it bothers me as well. Meaning we added a 19th bracha into shmones rei. Okay, it bothers me, but. In other words, Shemoneh Esrei is fundamentally 18, so you can't add another bracha for Havdalah. So, Achanami, Shef Takon, Tamni Lo Takon. But when you're transitioning from Shabbos to Yantav, so granted it's not 18 brachas, granted it's 7 brachas, but 7 is also a magic number, right? We talked about this earlier in the Masechta, how 7 is a unique number to the Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos and Yantav. So you can't just simply add now a new bracha into your Shemoneh Esrei. So Amalei Lav Halacha. I'm sorry. Amalei Lav Halacha. So Lav Halacha Itmar Elamatin Itmar. Okay. So we'll restate Rav Yochanan's original statement. Rav Yochanan, he didn't say that is the halacha. In other words, I'm inclined to say that's the halacha. So the Itmar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdim Amar Mishum Rabbeinu Halacha V'Amalei Matin. Some say that. That Rav Yochanan was inclined in that direction. Matim Rav Yochanan Amar. Modim, I'm sorry, Amar Modim. Rav Chia Bar Ava Amar Nirin. Now we're going to have another way to say it. Not Matim, but Nirin, meaning I'm not inclined to say it that way, but it seems to me that's correct. Amar Rav Zer Nakod Rav Chia Bar Ava Biyadecha. Now, the way that Rabbi Chia Bar Abba brought it to us, that when Rabbi Yochanan sided with Rabbi Eliezer, he didn't say the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. He didn't say I'm inclined to say it's like Rabbi Eliezer, but nearin. Now, because Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, whenever he learned so carefully, it was just like the way Rachva from Pumpadisa learned. Da'amar Rachva Amar Rav Yehuda Har Abayis Stav Kafol Haya. Vayastav lifnim mistav. Now, Rachva quotes his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, who described how Harabais was surrounded by a stav. Now, stav, some sort of building. It was a bench, right? It's the most, says Rashi. But anyway, when he quoted his Rebbe, he quoted it the exact way his Rebbe said it, even though others did not say it exactly that way. Okay, you can see Rashi for the whole Masorah. I'm Rav Yosef Ana Lo Hayadana V'Lo Hayadana Ala Mid Rav Shmuel Yadana Detakin Lei Magnisa BeBavel. So the Gemara says, "Look, I'm very happy that he says it like Rabbi Eliezer and he says it like Rabbi Akiva, and all that's well and good. We follow Rav and Shmuel. End of discussion. Rav and Shmuel, what do? They add a paragraph from Shabbos to Yontav to make a separation from Shabbos to Yontav. And here we get the Nusach. You'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through the whole Nusach over here and explain the whole Nusach, but the point that we're making is, you see what just happened? You transition. You inserted a Nusach of Havdalah into Shemoneh Esrei, and then you go right into V'titein Lanu. It's not a bracha b'fnei atzma, it's not an independent bracha. They did not want to add an eighth bracha into Shemoneh Esrei when you transition from Shabbos to Yantav, so therefore they just made a paragraph speaking about Havdalah in the middle bracha. Okay, not bad timing. Okay, tomorrow we start with Al Kan Sipur Yagir Rechamecha. Fascinating discussions taking place tomorrow. Tameh HaMitzvos, can we seek reasons behind the mitzvos? Coming up tomorrow's daf. Okay, everyone have a great day.